This Galactic Netcast is brought to you by TextualTees.com. It's your one-stop shop for novelty tees and apparel. My personal favorite is the Your Mom rated E for everyone. Of course, that may be why I have no friends. Free shipping for any order in the United States, and they have fast, friendly customer service. Please support this program by going to GalacticNetcasts.com and click the Textual Tees banner. Show some love for your favorite sci-fi, TV show, movie, video game, meme, and more with a shirt from Textual Tees.
By your command.
Felt a great disturbance in the Force.
Resistance is futile.
We built a time machine out of a DeLorean.
Exterminate.
Silent Breed is people!
I'll be back.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
We live in a spaceship, dear.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. I call to order this edition of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Welcome, everybody. I'm your club president, Dave Nelson. Joining me is Vice President Matt Stein. Also here, Secretary Brad Ludwig and Treasurer Anessa Moyens. How you guys doing?
Awesome.
It'd be great.
Did my title change?
No, you.
He didn't go with anything fun this time.
Yeah. No, I thought I'd go.
Oh, he's like, always been like Viceroy.
Yeah, no, I thought I'd go back to the original premise, which is President, okay. Vice President, Secretary, Treasurer.
I got you.
Yeah. So, welcome to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. How you guys doing?
Good.
Terrific.
All right, let's introduce our guest geek this week. He's been a longtime listener and supporter of the Galactic Netcast Network and contributor with the voicemails and reports from Planet Comic-Con in Kansas City. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we know him as Jason from Kansas. Please welcome to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, Mr. Jason Taylor.
Woo! All right.
Hang on, I got something for that. Hang on.
Wow.
There, that was good. There's your fanfare, Jason.
That's awesome. That's, I feel like I need to break up the trombone and
okay, I got two.
Very nice.
There's that, and then I got this one right here. Hang on.
I like that.
I like this one better though.
It sounds like a trombone.
Welcome, Jason.
Thank you.
It sounds like a hamster fart. What's going on there?
So, Jason, tell us, when was the first time you started listening to our shows?
I started with show number one of Alien Invasion, and then also show number one of Time Traveling Robots in Space.
So, number one, like when it first got published, or you went back to listen to all of them?
No. I started with the very first. I saw an announcement for it somewhere online when I was looking it on iTunes, and I remember when the first one was uploaded, and I started listening to it right then. It was just you and Brad.
Holy crap.
And then later on, Anessa, when she was still called Inertia, nobody really knew her. She was just in the chat room.
Yep. Wow.
And then... yeah, it just kept on going, and pretty soon, next thing I know, Anessa is Anessa instead of Inertia, and she was actually helping with the show once in a while. Then she became a permanent fixture.
Yeah, because Dave wanted me on there just for the random shit that I say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Hey. Somebody keep track of the swear words, because I have to go back every time and actually take those out. So, Brad, at your job as secretary,
oh, nice.
Or are you treasurer? I forget. Secretary. Right?
Brad's a secretary.
So that's secretary, yeah.
Keep track of all the swear words. So, Jason.
Yes.
So, long-time listener. Man, I didn't know it was that long.
Yes.
Wow.
Since the beginning.
Holy crap.
That's awesome.
Thanks for being such a supporter of the network.
Yeah,
we appreciate
no
it.
Kidding.
Well, yeah.
Very cool.
Should have had you
I
on a long time ago.
I will say that each episode I listen to, there's always something I can take away from it. And usually... along with the information I get, there is also comedy with it, and I love the chemistry between everybody that's on the show, on all the shows, and I've never ever had any bad things to say about it, or negative for that matter. It's always been a positive thing, It's always left me smiling. It's always left me informed in some way or another. It's just been awesome.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Wow. Thank you. Yeah.
So what do you do for a living in Kansas City?
Oh, I live right outside of Wichita.
Okay. I don't know why I was thinking. Oh, because you went to the Kansas City, the Planet Comic Con. Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's along 35, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna be going through there in May.
Done some serious drinking in Lawrence a few times.
I have as well. Down on Mass Street.
Yep. The first time I ever went there, I played a show at the Bottleneck.
Really?
Yes, I used to still a good friend of mine, but he played in a band called Trucell, and then he was in a band called The Cast Pattern, and now he's in a band called Amanaza.
Wow.
Yes.
That's cool.
Which is just down there in January, and yes.
That's cool.
Was there for 4 days and remember one.
That's the sign of a good trip.
Little known fact, I lived in Overland Park, Kansas. For a period of time.
Wow.
Really?
Huh.
That's a good area.
That was like two or three at the time, so I don't remember much of it.
So, Jason, what do you do for a living?
I'm an aircraft parts painter at Spirit Aerosystems, which used to be Boeing in Wichita. I work third shift, 11 p.m. to 6 a.m., and all I do is paint parts and listen to my iPod all night.
Sweet. Plenty of time to listen to podcasts, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
All right. Well, welcome again. Let's get on with the show. We did the introduction of guests. Let's read the minutes from last week or last time. It's been a few weeks. Brad, can you recall once we last met, what did we talk about?
I don't remember anything.
it's really hard to take.
We can talk about sci-fi.
Yeah, it's hard to take Brad seriously when he's drinking a juice box and, like, holding the straw real dainty-like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. He's such a precious little flower.
I am. I stole one of my son's drink boxes here, so.
Hey, whatever you can get, you know.
Those funny little glasses that he wore.
Was pince-nez.
Yeah, pince-nez.
You know what? I have not. I got a.
Oh, God. Don't encourage him.
Okay, somebody take a screenshot of this.
Anyways, hey, let's talk about old business from the last show. Now that I've had some time to screw around here, I actually remember what happened. We spoke with Emmy nominee Gary Yap. He was our guest geek.
I love you, Gary.
Gary was a very, very nice guy. I really enjoyed talking to Gary. A great cause that he's doing, which is Matt.
He is raising money for cancer research at thelastpodcast.com.
Exactly. We talked about Star Trek Into Darkness and the deleted scenes on the multiple DVDs. It's one of the worst marketing schemes they could have ever done, is they split up different bits of deleted scenes and put them on the Target version and then on the Walmart version. And then on, it was just terrible.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Yeah, it's the worst thing ever. Matt talked about the new plot for the new Terminator film, Terminator Genesis. And he also brought to the table, because he's a big gaming guy, Batman Arkham Knight was announced. And he let us know that the Batmobile is drivable.
Hey, Matt. Matt, did you finish the game?
No, I think I'm about two-thirds done with Arkham Origins. The Diablo expansion came out, and I've been doing that, and other things keep getting in the way. But
I'm disappointed.
Next time,
shut up, Brad.
You better be number one. That's number one. Keep trying.
Take a drink.
Number one, yeah. I will make a point to finish it in the next few weeks. I can't make any promises for next week, but
okay.
Before my 30th birthday, I'll finish it.
Just do your best. Do your best.
Next year.
Do the best you can
30th
do.
30th birthday? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
The next thing that we talked about, we'll get back to the old business here, is Peter Capaldi took some time to speak to an autistic girl who was at the Cardiff filming that they were doing. And this little girl was her invisible friend is Matt Smith. So
it's damn cute.
very, very adorable. And she came to the her aunt brought her to the filming in Wales, in Cardiff, and she was wearing a sewn, to, you know, it was a very nice looking sewn costume of a Dalek. So this cute little girl is in this Dalek costume, and he took some time, and Jenna was with him, and the video that we shared was of him speaking with this little autistic girl to reassure her that, you know, he is friends with Matt, and he actually had a image of himself, Matt Smith and Jenna Coleman, all together, and just took a moment to reassure her that, you know, everything's going to be okay, and it was really, really kind of touching. We also discussed that the next trilogy to The Matrix is in the works by the Wachowski siblings, and Anessa let us know about the Museum of Sci-Fi. So,
that's yay. It.
That is everything that we have for old business.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Let's move on to new business, the stories this week. And I kind of shuffled the order a little bit and put Anessa as our lead-off story. What do you got, Anessa?
Sundance's science fiction hit The Signal finally gets a trailer, and this is not to be confused with the 2007 movie The Signal.
Was that the one with...
This is with Lawrence Fishburne. Well, which one are you talking about?
The old one, the 2007. That was the one with Charlie Sheen, right? Or no, that was something else. Never mind.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Neither does the rest of America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one is with Lawrence Fishburne, and the official synopsis says that Nick and Jonah are MIT freshmen with a passion for hacking. While driving cross-country through Nevada with Nick's girlfriend Haley, they follow rival hacker Nomad's clues to a location 180 miles away. After terrifying confrontation with Nomad in the middle of the desert, the trio regain consciousness in captivity. Struggling to comprehend the true nature of their confinement, they discover that they are part of a plot much larger than themselves. The trailer actually starts off with, I don't know if it's Nick or Jonah, that is basically in this white room seated at a table across from Lawrence Fishburne, who's wearing like a hazmat suit. And Lawrence Fishburne is a government official who's just trying to question, I guess it's probably Nick, about like what happened when he first heard the signal. And you don't really know exactly what the signal is. But as the trailer goes on, you tend to figure out that there's something going on with this signal, and I guess like the individual having more abilities than they are initially aware of, they start to realize that they have more, I guess, powers, maybe? Not entirely sure about that part, but it actually looks kind of interesting. I'd like to see another trailer.
Yeah, it's really intense. And, the trailer is crazy.
So, yeah, I'd like to see another trailer and then maybe eventually check it out in theaters or online.
Do we want to talk about the question that Lawrence Fishburne asks whoever is being questioned?
He asks, when did you first hear the signal?
No, there's another question that he asks.
Would you like a packet of crisps? I don't remember what the other signal is. Or the other question is.
The other question was, are you human?
Oh, he asked him, are you from Earth?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he asked him, are you from Earth? And the guy was like, yeah. So maybe he's not from Earth.
Yeah.
He doesn't know it.
Yeah. I actually, I included this in, I think, the blog post that I wrote for our website this week. I think it's one of the movies that I put on the list of not as known movies that are coming out this year.
I didn't remember seeing that there.
Well, maybe I didn't include it. Maybe not.
I don't remember.
Okay.
If you enjoy listening to podcasts, as if you're listening to this and or watching it, you probably do. You're going to want to check out Neil deGrasse Tyson's latest episode of Star Talk Radio. And he actually interviewed Lawrence Fishburne while they were both in Arizona. Scottsdale, Arizona, if you are watching Cosmos, Neil deGrasse Tyson's show that he's doing for Fox and National Geographic right now, if you're living under a rock and don't know that, the scenes where they do the Ship of the Imagination are all filmed at this location in Scottsdale, Arizona, and Lawrence Fishburne was in the area doing some work on The Signal. And so they met up and talked about projects and a little bit about The Signal. So,
cool. That's a neat quinkadink.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. You find out a little bit more about. I didn't know that Lawrence Fishburne's parents were teachers. So, you know, you can talk a lot about his background and his interest in science and how he got involved with the. You know, he's done a lot of science fiction based movies, Event Horizon and The Matrix, obviously, and and a few others. So it's a very, very good good podcast to listen to.
Star Talk really gets into more than just the sciency when they have guests on, because a lot of times they're just answering questions from listeners.
Yep. You do the cosmic queries that they do with people asking questions through Twitter, through Facebook, and whatnot. But
they, when they have guests on, they really get into kind of the meat and potatoes of who the person is, and it's kind of interesting.
The MythBusters episodes were really good too, the two-parter.
Yeah, what I didn't know is those guys don't hang out in real life. Like, they've never had dinner alone, just the two of them.
No, they really don't.
Weird.
It's pretty crazy.
Did that movie premiere at South by Southwest?
I believe it was a Sundance film.
Sundance.
I don't know if it actually premiered at South by or not.
Okay. I'm getting my indie movies confused.
Yeah, I remember reading this was a Sundance film. But yeah, like I said, I don't know if it ended up at South by or not.
Okay. All right. So let's kind of segue into my story, because it deals with the same thing, basically movies. And I wrote a blog post this week for Galactic Netcast of the lesser known sci-fi themed films being released this year. And I swear to God, I put that on the list, but maybe I didn't.
I double checked and I didn't see it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I looked too.
Okay. So the ones that I included, the first one is a movie called Space Station 76. And I love the concept of this. It's basically a science fiction comedy that is set like if it was filmed in 1976. Like what our vision of the future or what our vision of science fiction was back in 1976.
That's a good year.
Was that the year that you were born, Jason?
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
I'll keep the comment to myself.
Oh, what? Does that make him younger than you?
Oh, no. I was gonna say I was negative 9 years old.
Oh, okay. You're still the youngest person.
My parents had been married for 1 year in 1976.
Man. Shut up.
I said I was gonna keep it to myself, and everyone's like, "What?"
I didn't say anything.
What?
This one debuted at South by Southwest, so maybe that's where I got confused.
Maybe.
So I cannot wait for this. It sounds really awesome, making light of science fiction and placing it not necessarily in the year 1976, but what we kind of I imagine, you know, Space 1999, kind of that look to it. Or what was that film? Anessa, what was that environmental film? It was a big dome full of, like, all the Earth's, like, greenery.
Biodome?
No, not Biodome.
Oh, like, that was Biodome.
That was the first thing I thought of, too.
Yeah.
No, it I think it was released in the early 1970s, and it was very groovy looking, you know, very 1970s fashions. I guess that's what they thought we were going to wear in the future. In the future.
Was this something that we watched for the sci-fi film school?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. I believe it was.
Okay, hang on.
Yeah. Okay. So while you look for that, I'll run down some of the other movies here on this list. So these are not all like your mainstream movies like your Guardians of the Galaxy or your Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. These are ones that, you know, you may not have on your radar now, but you may, but you will at the end of this. So another film is called The Machine, and this one's starting to get buzz. Like, after I wrote this article or this blog, I saw a couple of other articles about The Machine. So it's basically two computer programmers who fall in love as they create the first ever piece of self-aware artificial intelligence, which is designed to help humanity. And so it's an actual person. It's not like Her. So it's kind of like if Her and RoboCop were to marry, that's the kind of movie that this would be. And there is no release date for that one yet. The next one on the list is Welcome to Yesterday. It will hit theaters October 9th. Tells the tale of a group of teens who discover the secret to time travel and they construct their own time machine. And, of course, something goes wrong, as it always does. The Prototypes, another obscure sci-fi film being released this year, October 7th.
Dave?
Yes.
It is going to get The Machine is going to get a limited release April 25th in the U.S.
Okay, cool. So that actually bodes well for us because usually when you get a limited release, it'll be more than likely available on home video a lot faster. So,
yep.
All right. Thank you, Brad.
Yep.
The Prototype, a government agent stumbles upon an alien conspiracy to conquer Earth using a blue liquid created by the aliens to make soldiers stronger. He becomes the Prototype, the only hope for mankind. And again, that's October 7th release. And there's two more on this list. There's one called Debug, and sometime in 2014 that comes out. It's six young computer hackers sent to work on a derelict freighter, forced to match wits with a vengeful artificial intelligence. And finally, a movie called Home, which is an animated film. And I believe this is like either Pixar or Disney or one of the major film companies, film studios. It's about a friendly race of aliens who invade Earth, use it as a hideout from their mortal enemy.
Hi.
And my fiance Stephanie is right behind me.
Creepy.
Hi, guys.
First ever on the podcast. So there's my list. So check those out if you're sick of the mainstream movies. If you're sick of the popcorn fun, you know, robots. Now, is there any robot movies? Yeah, there's this Transformers coming out this year, right?
I don't know. I don't keep up with Transformers. Oh, are you thinking of Silent Running?
Yeah, Silent Running.
Because I don't think that was ever a sci-fi film school
okay.
thing, or was it?
Maybe it was.
It might have been before me.
Okay, maybe it was just a recommend or a pick or something like that. Possibly.
Back in my day.
Brad, there's a Transformers film coming out because it stars
Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg,
yes.
Yeah.
Age of Extinction. I just looked it up. Comes out this year.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
I think he will have the Funky Bunch backing him up.
Yes.
In this film.
I sure
I
hope
hoping.
So.
I was hoping.
Be very disappointed.
And his way to fight the evil, he'll be able to feel the vibration. of the.
Is it a good vibration, Brad?
Oh my gosh.
A good vibration.
This is
yes.
happening.
yes.
Uh-huh.
So,
it is.
So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Check those movies out. All right. Before we get off the rails too much, let's move on to another major motion picture that came out a couple years ago, getting a sequel, Matt. What is it?
Yes, Prometheus 2.
Yes.
Gets a new writer. Will be coming out March of 2016. Michael Green, the writer for Green Lantern and also the new Blade Runner movie, will be brought to rewrite Jack Hagelin's original draft. And apparently the story will feature multiple versions of Michael Fassbender's android David. There wasn't really a ton past this. Well, I mean, obviously there can't be because the guy's rewriting it. So 2 years, he'll get to see another Prometheus, which I watched the first one, and I actually really enjoyed it. It was one of the few movies that I've sat down and watched without, like, getting up and going to do something else because I got bored, which is huge in my book because I have an attention span that can be measured in nanoseconds.
Really? I'd never noticed that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a big shocker to all of you guys. But since that was so short, I actually grabbed a second story. After reading Dave's blog post, I thought about movies that I wish had reboots. And I recently watched Stargate, like, 4 days in a row because that movie is the bee's knees. So it turns out that they are going to be rebooting Stargate and potentially doing a trilogy. And in the same article, they mentioned that Independence Day 2 is coming out July 3rd, 2015, which was weird to me because I remember seeing when the original Independence Day came out, it was marketed as ID4. And I'm like, were there three movies about this that I completely missed? So I'm curious to see if it comes out as being...
You were like 5 at the time, so it's easy to make that mistake.
Yeah, you didn't know the English language that well yet.
When did that one come out? 99?
No, 94. 95?
94.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, so I would have been 9 or 10. I thought it was later than that.
No, we just talked about the sequel, the history of the rebooting, or not rebooting, but the history of the sequels to Independence Day on the Alien Invasion a couple weeks ago.
Well, and see, the weird thing about this is, like, Stargate is a reboot, so they mentioned that they won't need to get James Spader or Kurt Russell back because it's going to be essentially a different story, whereas Independence Day is a true sequel. So are they going to try and get, like, Will Smith and all of those people to come back?
They've tried.
They
but,
tried.
Yeah, but he's not going to come back.
I didn't do a ton of research on it. This just kind of came up when I was looking for Stargate reboots.
I'm pretty sure Goldblum's in. And who else? Vanessa Brad. Who else was positively in for the sequel? You guys remember?
Wasn't Lone Star in for it? Weren't they going to bring the guy that played?
Oh, Bill Pullman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah.
Lone Star.
So.
Nice reference.
Like Lone Star.
Yeah.
Only one with their two jam or use raspberry.
Yes.
Lone Star.
Barf. Barf.
No, you know, getting back to Stargate, there's been a lot of Stargate history since the movie with three TV series. So I think it's prime for a reboot. I think you can go anywhere with that franchise.
I really liked that movie, like, as a kid and even now. You know, kind of going back, it was somewhat of a cheesy story, but it really kind of depicts everything that you want to see in a sci-fi movie. I mean, there's action, there's Egyptians, like a time travel-y warpy type thing.
A wormhole?
It's a wormhole, Matt.
A wormhole, thank you. It brings people that really aren't into sci-fi, i.e. myself, an interest in, like, a sci-fi movie. There were some boobs in it, too.
Of course.
Always a plus, yeah, I
yeah,
suppose.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mass appeal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my time's up.
This is it me, or is there a weird vibe to this episode tonight? It's just people are just squirrely.
I blame Matt.
Either it's okay.
My apple juice.
I had some dinner beers, and I'm really sleepy, so it's okay.
Oh, we forgot, and I think that we've forgotten to ask you this the last few episodes. Are you drinking a beer?
I had dinner beers, so I'm drinking water right now. I was like all ready. I had a beer ready to go, and I'm just not feeling it.
What kind of beer did you drink?
I had a Shock Top Belgian White and a Pyramid Vice Cream. So it was like a cream ale and then the Belgian White.
Wow.
They're both decent, but I did. There's actually a beer fest in Appleton on Saturday that I picked up tickets for. Buddy and I are going. And when I was at the liquor store, they had a Santa's Reserve Ale beer marked down 20-ounce bottles for $1.99.
Holy cow.
It's very possible. Had I drank that, I would be dead tomorrow. Because, I mean, it was like a $12 bottle of beer down to two.
Holy crap, that is a savings.
Yeah, might be a good thing that I'm not drinking it.
Yeah.
But that was.
You just get a cart and just load that son of a bitch up?
I thought about it. I'm like, you know what, I'll just take a box. And then I was like, this could be really disgusting and slap me in the face because they had like four cases stacked up of it. So I got one in case it does not taste very good.
And there might be a reason why it's on sale. Just saying.
That was my thought. No, that was my thought. I'm like, usually things aren't $1.99 for no reason.
Yeah.
Unless they're like seasonal and they're trying to get rid of their seasonal stuff.
Yeah, if it's got the word Santa in it, it's probably past selling opportunity.
Way past selling opportunity.
You don't want to be drinking something that says Santa in the middle of July, I'm guessing.
Christmas in July.
I was going to say, they can do Christmas in July.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Good job with those stories.
Thanks, Dad.
So, Brad, what do you have for us?
I spoke a little bit earlier about Cosmos when we were talking about Lawrence Fishburne and his interview in The Signal. Neil deGrasse Tyson's show, Cosmos, if we've all been following it, they've had these animated segments where they talk about, whenever they talk about the history of science and scientific discovery, they use an animation sequence to tell the story. In episode 3, Anessa and I watched this when we were in our little mini vacation in Chicago this past weekend, and I'm like, or was that last night? No, it was last night when we watched.
That was last night when just remember Books of Fish.
Yeah. But I heard the voice, and I'm like, that's Cary Elwes. Cary Elwes of Princess Bride,
yep.
And he was in a number of episodes of Psych. He's done a lot of wonderful different projects, and it was just kind of cool to go, oh, hey, that's, you know, somebody, a famous actor. And so they've kind of been doing this trend where they get famous people, and Patrick Stewart is actually going to be doing a voice for one of the animated segments, and that's going to be in the episode that's going to air on Fox March 30th, and that episode is going to be called A Sky Full of Ghosts. And Patrick Stewart is going to be doing the voice of the 19th century astronomer William Herschel. And in this segment, he's going to be explaining to his son about how time and gravity affect light.
Cool.
And that's kind of where we get the space ghosts thing from, talking about how far away other stars are and how long it takes for that light to come to us and things like that. So
So impressed with Cosmos. Like, I learned so much from watching last week's episode. Like, I didn't realize that Haley's Comet Haley guy, Thomas Haley, is that his first name? I think.
Sir Edmund.
Okay. Edmund.
Sir Edmund Halley is
okay.
How they were saying
Halley.
It.
Okay. I didn't realize that he did a lot more than just, well, he didn't actually discover that comet, but he discovered a way to track comets and their predictability of coming back on a regular basis. I didn't realize that he invented so much other things, like the diving bell and the weather maps, the arrows on weather maps. That's him. I didn't realize that he had such a relationship with Newton. He was like a proponent. He was like the pitch man for Newton, basically.
Yeah, he really was. And if it weren't for Edmund Halley, really petitioning for Newton, who knows how long it would have been before, you know, or if at some point in time the laws of gravity would have been released. It would have been how long it would have taken, and, you know, could you imagine? I mean, using those calculations, Halley figured out, and he did a lot of research. I mean, at that time, you know, like Neil deGrasse Tyson says, there was no Google. If you wanted something, you dug through books. You dug through a lot of books. And, you know, the comet that is named for him actually had appeared regularly at certain intervals, and he predicted when it would come back and knew that it was the same comet, and actually said exactly, using Newton's calculations for the, you know, his, for the laws of gravity, to actually calculate exactly where in the night sky it was going to appear.
I've been thinking ever since I watched the episode, that must have been a lot of work and a lot of research, you know, to figure that out.
Yep. It's truly, truly fascinating.
Who else here on the panel has watched Cosmos? Any of you guys?
Not yet.
Yeah, not here.
So I guess me and Brad are the only cool guys here, cool people here.
No, and S and I watch it.
Well, I'm really busy catching up on cartoons.
No shame in that.
Well, you can learn about gravity from cartoons, because a lot of times, you know, there's...
I'm actually been really busy reading this ditty, Applying Ethics, because school.
Because school.
Yay, education!
Well, the nice thing about, and it's on Hulu, so I mean, you can always go back to Hulu and watch the episodes.
It's easy to digest. Like, they do a really good job of bringing it down to the bare bone, you know, making it easy to even a non-science person can follow along.
Yeah. It's like science heavy without it being heavy science.
Yeah, no, the good.
You get walked through a lot of very interesting history and concepts of science, of life, not just physics. I mean, that's his specialty, is astrophysics, but just taking all of science and bringing it to a very easy to understand level is really, you know, and Neil deGrasse Tyson has appeared in a number of other things even before Cosmos. And, you know, I've watched videos of him doing conferences and interviews and things like that. And he's always been that way. So it's just, and he was, you know, Carl Sagan actually tried to get him to go to Columbia University when he was looking for what college to end up going to. And thanks to Carl Sagan taking that time to work with him and just be nice to him when he didn't need to be, you know? He was at the top of his game, you know? Carl Sagan was the bomb in science. And to have him take that time, that really stuck with him, and he wanted to do the same. And he's doing it, and it's going to help generate, just like the original Cosmos did. It's going to resonate with a lot of kids and get people interested in science.
And kudos
a lot more than they currently
are. And kudos to Fox for taking a risk, you know, to put it on prime time network television.
When Seth MacFarlane comes to you and says, "Hey, I make you a lot of money. I've got this idea for something that I think might make us a lot more money," and Fox goes, "Okay." He's got the clout to do something like that.
Let's hope he can call in some favors to put Star Trek back on TV, because I know he's a big Star Trek fan.
Yep.
That would be cool.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Great story. And one final story, and it's our guest geek, Jason.
Jason,
what do you got for us?
Yay. Well, I guess I could. I was so nervous trying to figure out what to come up with. You guys were telling me you wanted me to talk about Planet Comic-Con, so I made that the majority.
Yeah, let's talk about the history of that, because this is 2 years in a row that you have gone, right?
Yes.
Okay, and this is 2 years in a row that you have provided with for us pictures from Planet Comic-Con.
Yes, thank you very much. We really appreciate that.
Sure. Basically, how it started was a couple years ago, I mentioned my wife and I went to Encounters in Wichita, which is an older con that they started again. And from that, we found out through connections there that the Planet Comic-Con in Kansas City was going down. So my wife's like, let's go. So we headed up there, and last year was, like I said, awesome. We got to meet so many cool people. We met Daphne Ashbrook last year. She was in the Doctor Who movie that they made.
She was
the doctor that turned companion.
Sure.
Real sweetheart. We went to her panel and got a picture with her and stuff. And then we met the 501st, Star Wars 501st Legion. there was a lot of... It was heavy on the Who that year. There was a Time Lords of Kansas was there. There's a podcast, some kind of a Doctor Who podcast from Kansas City area that was there. We went to the R2 Builders Association panel. It was pretty cool.
Cool.
This year blows last year out of the water as far as cool people we got to meet. This year, as luck would have it, Sylvester McCoy, of course, was there. But every time we went by, his lines were just packed, and they were capped off. Well, Saturday we got there. My wife was dressed up in her self-made Dalek costume that she made, and it's kind of a steampunk looking.
It's a great costume.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. She spent a lot of time on that, and a buddy of mine and I wired up the LED lights with a LiPo battery, and it's got a hidden wire that goes down the sleeve into her glove to activate the lights. We went up there to his line Saturday morning, and there was two people in front of us. We timed it perfectly.
Oh, wonderful.
And we found out that one of Sylvester McCoy's favorite characters from Doctor Who was the Daleks. And my wife is there in her Dalek costume. We get up there. We get ready to do the picture. And he says, well, I might have to stand up for this one. He said, oh, yes. And he gets around, and he just keeps telling my wife how lovely her costume is. And I was just – I was starstruck. I'm, like, trying to take the picture. And my wife is just beaming from it. It was so awesome. And he is such a polite man. We went to his panel, and most people, when you go to a panel, they sit up there and people ask him questions and they interact with the people. That's about it. This guy, Sylvester McCoy, was bouncing off the walls. He was in the crowd going up and down the aisles. He didn't sit down once. He was all over the place, just going up to random people and sticking the mic in their face.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was very awesome. And then after we got out of there, DMC from Run DMC was there also.
Wow.
And yeah, my wife's in costume. I'm her handler. And we're walking by, and I said, there's DMC. And she's like, go say hi to him. So I walked up there, and he gave me a fist bump, and he looks at my wife. He's like, awesome costume. And I was like, oh. But the cap to that story is later on, we're at the Marriott, which is where they put all the celebs and guests, is at the Marriott every year, which is a block from the convention center. We get back that evening, and my wife's still in costume. We're getting in the elevator, and I hold the door and say, is anybody else going up? DMC walks by. He's like, I am, and he jumps in the elevator with us.
That's cool.
And I'm riding up in the elevator with him, and I'm just like starstruck again. And as I turn to get out, I'm like, I'm a huge fan. He gives me another fist bump and says, thank you. And I'm like, oh, cloud nine. But also there was a lot of people there. Will Wheaton was there. Scott Schneider was there, who draws for Batman. Every time I went to his line, it was, of course, capped off. There was Andy Parks who writes for Green Lantern, I believe. No, yeah. Green Hornet. Sorry, Green Hornet.
Okay.
Sorry, my bad. Too many greens. William Shatner was there on Sunday. We didn't even try to even walk over there because it was heavy on the red shirts that day. There was so many red shirts there. that, I mean, there was even dead red shirts walking around wanting to meet.
Zombie red shirts.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you wait long enough, they're all just going to get killed off and you'll get to the front of the line.
Yes. There was a guy from, there was a girl from Firefly there. I can't remember her name.
Was it Jewel State?
Jewel State?
I'm thinking possibly. And then there was a dude there from Warehouse 13, the guy that played the partner from Warehouse 13.
Malcolm.
Yes.
Is his first name Malcolm?
I believe so. Silly me, I freaked out and didn't bring the program in the room with me.
That's cool.
No. It's
he's funny. He's very funny.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
he
I didn't realize how much he mirrors his character on Warehouse 13. Because, you know, like, his character is a recovering alcoholic, and in real life, he's a recovering alcoholic.
Did he maybe incorporate that into his character? Like, did they let him incorporate that into his character?
I honestly don't remember if he said or not, because I remember seeing him in a panel. It was him and
Eddie McClintock.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be him, and then was it Paul Rubinek? The guy who plays the keeper of the warehouse. I forget his name.
Oh, yeah. It's been so long Saul. Since I watched Saul. 13. Saul is his first name.
Saul.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be those two, but Saul wasn't able to make it, so it was just Eddie McClintock, and it was really an interesting panel.
Hmm.
So.
But yeah, it was. I was rubbing shoulders with these people as they were walking by. John Ratzenberger. from Cheers, that's what I know him best from. But he was there. He was 5 feet from me at one of the vendor tables, just talking to a lady, and I was just like, oh, "That's the dude from." And
was he? Did he say little known fact when he was talking to the lady?
I was actually waiting for him to say that, but other people were asking him about Pixar movies, of course. Yeah. You know, it's Mac from Cars, you know. But we also got to meet Abby Darkstar, who's a cosplayer, and Meg Turney, who's also a cosplayer. Those two and my wife became fast friends. We went to a panel on cosplay, crafting your fandom. It was really informative. Let's see here. Jim Butcher was just, he wasn't even there as a guest. He was just there walking around, hanging out.
Who's that?
I love the Dresden File books.
Oh, they're awesome.
Oh, he's the author of those?
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep. He just happened to be walking by, and I looked at, of all things, I see his hair and his arms.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd seen him, he was at Encounters last year as a guest. And I was like, that's Jim Butcher. My wife's like, no, it's not. He's not even supposed to be here. And I was like, that is him. And she's like, he's too short. And I was like, no, that is him. And we get up there. We kind of, not creepy, follow him, but we follow him. He goes to the ATM. And as he turns around, I was like, that's Jim Butcher. My wife's like, holy crap, it is. And I was like, do you want a picture with him? And she's like, I guess. So she walks over and asks him. She's like, can we bother you for a picture? He's like, oh, sure. He's like, if I didn't want to be bothered, I wouldn't be here. Like, he's got a point. But it was really awesome. I mean, the stuff that we got to see and the people we got to meet and the connections we made are just absolutely amazing. We got invited to SoonerCon, which is in Oklahoma, outside Oklahoma City. A lady that actually runs the costume part of the costume contest at SoonerCon invited my wife. She handed her a card. She's like, I want you in my costume contest. And I was like,
oh,
this isn't happening.
You guys really, that's cool. You guys really hit a home run with that costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to make it bulletproof again. And I'm going to get, I was going to be as number 11, but I was so worried about making sure her costume was packed right that I forgot my sonic screwdriver.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I forgot my shoes. And the only thing I made it up there with was my jacket, pants, white shirt, bow tie, suspenders, and a fez. And I was like, I am not going to be some second-rate number 11 without my Sonic.
Yeah, no. And
everybody I told, they were asking me, why aren't you dressed up? I was like, well, I didn't bring my Sonic. They're like, well, there's for sale over here. I was like, yeah, for $40.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I am not going to spend $40 when I have one sitting in my display case next to my X-Wing, you know?
Exactly.
But it was pretty cool time overall. We had a lot of fun. And if you're ever around Kansas City during that time, I recommend it.
Now I'm getting excited about our con here. It'll be my first ever con, Ottawa Comic Con. So.
Okay, I've heard of that, and I've heard it's nothing to sneeze at. It's awesome.
Cool.
So
I'm really excited.
Good.
All right, so cool, Jason. Thanks for the report. And you talked about, you made a Star Wars mention. So let's continue on the theme of Star Wars. You got a story to talk about, right?
Basically, I've been interested in building props and stuff since I was little. I've never actually committed to it because I've never had the money or the time between building. On the side, when I have free time, I build custom trucks and bikes and choppers and stuff like that. And I finally started getting into researching prop building. And on this podcast, and please forgive me, I don't remember the name of it, but it's been about a year or two ago, they interviewed a guy from FullScaleFalcon.com. And basically what it is these guys went out in a field outside, it's an hour west of Nashville, Tennessee, and they are building a full-scale Millennium Falcon to right down to the landing pads. It's a non-profit deal. People volunteer their time and money. People donate money to it, basically to help fund it. It's not associated with Lucasfilm in any way, shape, or form, but the 501st and the Rebel Legion have already asked to get pictures with some of the areas that are completed. I tried to get the link to come up on my little Google Chromebook, and it's not working, so I have my wife's laptop here next to me. And basically on the site, you can go to the site. I think the link is in the show notes. But they have different people working on different sections, like the cockpit, the smuggler's hold, different areas like the communications array. And it's supposed to be larger. Let's see here. It says it will be somewhat larger than any of the exterior sets from the films, basically.
Holy
and,
crap.
Yeah, they're getting right down to the full detail of everything. And that inspired me to not only look at building different things from Star Wars myself. Like, I have always wanted an X-Wing in my backyard. Always. Even more so if I just had a portion of it, you know, like if it was coming out of my fence or something. I've already got plans to build a TARDIS. I've got some blueprints and stuff stored on my drive that basically I can build a TARDIS in my backyard and, you know,
please share that with me, because one of my dreams is to have a garden shed in the back, which is a TARDIS. That's just like, yes, please.
There's a woman from Germany that I watched a video by a couple of years ago, long video, and she documented her building of her very own TARDIS. I don't know if you've seen that one. What's that?
Is it the folding one that folds up? She built it in her house?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yep.
That's a good video. I saw it on YouTube. It shows her, after she's done, she sets it up in her bedroom, then she sets it up in her bathroom, in her kitchen. It just shows her in different areas all around her house, in odd places that she sets the TARDIS up.
So that the Millennium Falcon, I saw some kind of like fan movie documentary, and they talked about one of the fan films involved the Millennium Falcon, and they said that it's so oddly shaped, it's really, really hard to make because it's keeping all those, it's because it's, you know, oddly shaped, and then you have to keep it up on its struts or whatever, and that's quite the thing they're doing, right? I mean,
it is, and that's what I remember from the interview. That's one of the things the guy said was the most challenging part, because they're going to make it to where it looks like it's landed in this field, and they're going to have all the support struts with that's going to be the load bearing part of the support struts are going to have steel and concrete, and then I guess to help with that, like if when it's docked in the movie, you see those big lines that look like they've got liquid oxygen going to them with the steam pouring out of the lines underneath. They're going to use those as mock-up support beams also to help support the weight of it, because it's going to be so heavy with all the things they're building in it.
No,
it's
kidding.
They're basically going to be like a huge tree fort.
They're going to have so many people that will want to either get their picture taken in it or beside it, or like these independent productions making fan films, they're going to want to use it. So
that's a fact. They've already had people wanting to do that. They've got requests from, like I said, the 501st, the Rebel Legion, and they've even had people want to get married inside of the bridge area, or the area where Luke is practicing and they're playing chess, in that little area where he's got the blast shield down.
Yeah.
They've had people want to get married, get pictures, you know, do stuff like that, shoot little fan film stuff. So it looks like it's still going pretty strong. And I would, if I ever take a trip down that way, which it wouldn't be that far for me since I'm in Kansas, but I think it would be awesome to go by there and see it.
That's going
to
be the next great American roadside attraction, you know? World, it's going to be next to the world's largest ball of twine, you know, as a destination, you know?
Yes.
Or what's the thing in Britain? Stonehenge? Carhenge. Isn't that someplace in your neck of the woods, Jason? Carhenge? Carhenge?
Is that where the caddies are buried in
That's
down in Texas.
No, that's over by Amarillo.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's up in the north part
of
Texas.
Okay.
Yep. It's some
off of 40, or I guess Route 66.
Sweet.
Yeah. The only thing we have is Dorothy's house, and that's in Liberal.
Okay.
And Wichita is the air capital of, you know, because of all the airplane factories and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought that's where they made all the air.
Yeah, they do that.
The air's got to come from someplace.
Yeah, and that's where Pizza Hut started, was in Wichita, and White Castle started in Wichita.
Wow. Our goal should be to get somebody from every state in the country, just because we learn new things about each state. I didn't know that about Kansas.
Neither.
Another fun fact is Kirstie Alley was born and raised in Towanda, Kansas, which is 6 miles away from me. She went to school with a friend of mine's dad.
Oh, wow. Sweet.
Small world.
Another sci-fi connection.
Yeah. Yeah, bam. She was on Next Generation. No, she was in the movie.
Yeah, Star Trek II.
She was the original Savick.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Jason. That was a great story. Great report and great story.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for this Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Went by fast.
It did.
Any final thoughts on any of the stories that we talked about tonight, guys?
First off, I want to say, Jason, that awesome.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Thank you. I
really loved listening you guys talk about Doctor Who for 4 hours.
Hey, Matt?
Matt's not a big Doctor Who person.
No.
Suck it.
Yeah. You know, shut up, Brad.
That's another one.
Drink.
Speaking of Doctor Who, I forgot to mention this was one big thing. The Whovians of Wichita, which I'm kind of in with now, my wife and I, they had a petition going to get old classic Doctor Who, like the older stuff, put back on KPTS, I believe, which is a local station around here. And they had a drive to raise money, and I guess that went through, and now they're starting to play old classic Doctor Who.
Sweet.
On KPTS around here. So,
That I'm guessing that's a public TV station.
Yeah, it's actually the president of the Whovians of Wichita. He actually works for it as one of the minions at the radio station or TV station there in Wichita. So he's the one that kind of spearheaded that whole thing and set it up and got it going.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You've really gone above and beyond the call of what our normal guest geeks bring to the table, Jason. So good job. Well,
thank you. That makes me feel good.
You have a lot of geek cred.
It's still. I can't believe I'm sitting here doing this with a show that I've listened to since it started, and I'm just like, wow. This is cool.
I have a question about your background, Jason. Is that that believe sign? Is that supposed to be an X-Files thing behind you? It says believe.
Yeah. No. I'm in my wife's library that I built for her.
Oh.
And this is her dominion behind me. It's all books. This is a whole wall of a bookshelf that I custom built for in her knickknack area and all that. So that is actually it's a church Bible thing quote.
Okay.
She has up there. Nice. I didn't even know it was there until you mentioned it.
Surprise!
Yay.
All right. Hey, again, that's going to do it for this episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Do you think we can make it to 3? I think I'll get to 3 this time, or do you think we'll stop at 2?
I think we'll stop at 2.
Okay. All right. So you guys think that we're actually done?
Yeah, did you already go through contact information?
Oh no, I haven't. I have not yet. Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of that, you can contact us, leave us feedback on this show, this particular episode, or any of our shows, galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Our voicemail number is 805-328-3966. Or just go to the website, galacticnetcast.com, and all the links are there to either get a hold of us, subscribe to the shows, check out the blog, or our picks page, or any of the stuff. It's all at galacticnetcasts.com. We are on iTunes. We're on Stitcher, so find us there to subscribe. And like us on Facebook, circle us on Google+, and follow us on Twitter. And that's going to do it. Thanks again to Jason Taylor, Jason from Kansas, for being our guest geek. Again, thank you very much for all your support.
Thank you very much. It was an honor.
For being one of our first, very first listeners. That's so awesome that you've been around that long, you know, from way back when.
Oh, yeah. From back in the day.
All right. Thanks for listening. I call this meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club adjourned, and I wasn't ready with my sound effects, so here we go. All right. Bye, everybody.
Okay, bye.
See ya.
Bye, Dad.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.